This podcast is not intended as a substitute for professional help. If you or someone you know is facing difficulties, I advise you consult a psychologist. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Psych for Life with Dr. Amanda Ferguson. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ferguson. Today's episode is about boys and emotional intelligence, why soft skills predict success in adult life and work, with Daniel Principe, youth advocate and educator. Daniel, you're passionate as a youth advocate and educator. You champion boys across Australia to challenge culture and aspire to live courageous, respectful, and empathetic lives. And you've presented to tens of thousands of young people across Australia. You're no stranger to the complex challenges that our distracting digital world presents to adolescents, of toxic influences, the objectification of women and girls, and unrealistic expectations fueled by the porn culture. You partner with schools and communities to encourage young people to instead aspire to healthy relationships built on mutual respect and empathy. And it's so great to have you back on the podcast. Thank you.
Great to be back. Thank you so much. I love this conversation. It's such a necessary one.
Well, yes, indeed. Since our last episode, which really focused much on pornography and the sexualization of women and girls, that's been such a popular podcast, so important to our time that this is why I think we agreed we wanted to do another one that's so incredibly related and so necessary. But before we talk about boys and emotional intelligence, you clearly have a lot of emotional intelligence, which, as we know, is different from intellectual intelligence. It's awareness, it's understanding, and the ability to express and manage our emotions. How do you think you developed this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, I think it's a combination of the beautiful things that happen in our lives, but also the challenging. I'm conscious of not, you know, overusing the word trauma or traumatic things, but I think obviously we all experience stresses or hurts or pains in life and dealing with them. And I'm not going to suggest that my life was more challenging than others, but there were certainly things growing up with a single mum and navigating what it is to be a boy and a man that presented me with hurts and disappointments and feelings of loneliness and abandonment and the bullying because I wasn't like other boys. I reflected on that. And I remember even as a child reflecting on my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, who grew up in a pretty brutal post-World War II time in Italy. Mm-hmm. And he was a very gentle, loving, very expressive man, animated man, being Southern Italian, but he was never violent. He was never abusive. And I always used to reflect on, I wonder what it was about him that made him break some of those patterns that had happened to him in life.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know, as a child, I always thought about these things. And perhaps it was in some senses, I found refuge in adult conversations and a lot of, I guess the topics that adults were fascinated with. So maybe it was that, maybe it was, that combination and kind of feeling a bit lonely and isolated from others. So I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling at this point, but definitely that. And definitely I would say hearing some of the heartaches that other people had experienced and sitting with them. And I would also say music. I found a lot of refuge in music and lyrics and songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I have not one musical bone in my body, but I think they gave expression to some of the more heartrending experiences that we all go through as humans, the highs and the lows. And I think that was what gave me some language and context and perhaps just my genetic makeup. That's a long-winded answer to that question.
But it's a really holistic answer because you're talking about family of origin and leaning into role models there, trying to understand those soft skills of your maternal grandfather and recognizing them as skills and as positives rather than necessarily negatives, which I think a lot of boys unfortunately fall into that trap, and certainly men that see that these soft skills are negative or weak skills, when in fact we know that emotional intelligence, which is soft skills, actually predicts success in adult life twice as much as intellectual intelligence. So you were a wise little boy to actually lean into what are the adults doing and saying and focusing on, and what can I learn, and retreating to the solace of music and expressing and dealing with negative emotion. Because we know that emotional intelligence, yes, some of it's genetic, but a lot of it is developed through negative emotion and experience and being able to manage those things.
Yeah, I was privileged one day to speak with one of my favorite musicians who was in a metal band. And I said to him, your music and this genre of music actually helped me give expression to things. Because I think I was a soft, sensitive boy who had a lot of anger at injustices and things, not only in my life, those around me and broadly. And I think being able to find expression for it. And I'm not saying that you stay in anger or stay in that space, but I think you would know far better than I as a psychologist that not dealing with anger, not having healthy outlets for it, can cause so much emotional and, you know, mental and relational heartache for people. And I would say that's been a long journey and still a journey of dealing with unpleasant experiences and emotions in ways that are more constructive. I don't think you ever deal with them perfectly.
Yeah.
Dealing with injustice and how do you process that? And that's definitely something that, yeah, informs, I guess, my work and probably helps me to be more gracious with others that maybe haven't had the opportunities or the safe spaces or the language or the support to express their feeling. I guess my mum probably allowed for me to express a wide variety of emotions growing up, which meant I was bullied more. But right now I look back and go, hey, hopefully that's made me a little bit healthier than I could have been, you know,
absolutely. Yeah. Because I mean, expressing negative emotion, expressing a range of emotion, as you say, is so important, and helping kids as parents are so time poor these days. And we can discuss that a bit later too, as to, you know, where that deficit is falling to you really to do a lot of the work that parents are not able, or so distracted themselves from their own devices and being bullied in the workplace potentially, and lots of other difficulties that we're all going through. But that ability to express any kind of emotion to a parent or a safe person and learn how to deal with it, and then learn how to stand up to bullies in the playground as potentially as a result of being a more soft person as a boy, it's such wonderful life skills if parents can pass these on. In fact, John Gottman says that parents responding to a child's emotions is such an important way that this emotional intelligence is developed, and that if parents are dismissive of children's emotions, then it doesn't develop. If they're disapproving, if they're laissez-faire, and they need to be, like you, emotionally coaching.
Yeah, I love that, emotionally coaching. So I just wanted to jump on that. I love that expression, because it is. It's like, you know, I know from reading other books like Dan Siegel's and these ideas of co-regulation, you know, which is a fancy word. It's like, what does that even mean? But I love the idea of emotional coaching. Like, I think it serves all of us. And I think, yeah, boys have been stifled in sharing emotions, especially as they hit that prepubescent stage. And there is this boy pack mentality, and there is more shaming of emotions and expressions that have been seen as feminine or weak, as you've highlighted, and such a need to equip boys to realize that this is good for them, you know, and it's good for their relationships as well. And to be honest with you, right now I'm having this conversation with countless schools about, well, Dan, if you had infinite resources, like, what would you do? That's what they've said to me, you know, what would you do? You know, just, you know, to dream and cast vision. And I've said, you know what? I love the conversations about consent. Obviously, we need to talk about respectful relationships and all this, but if we could do anything, I'd love to be able to champion like emotional literacy and champion, you know, soft skills or interpersonal skills and community, like, and exactly what you said, like, this is not just going to help them navigate, say, consent or a relationship or a breakup or asking someone on a date, where there's a lot of focus and resourcing in that space, which is great. But it actually is like, this is going to equip them to be a great teammate for their sports, or, you know, a great band member or a great debater or a great coach or a great friend or whoever. Like, it's just actually going to equip you in so many areas of life. And so right now, some of the schools that I'm working with, we're talking about how this is just such an essential skill that translates across the board. And like with everything, it's like, how can we sell, market, champion this to young boys and just all young people as well, that this is really healthy and helpful for them. Yeah.
Yeah, particularly as you must find that a lot of their parents and their male role models and male parents must be still caught in the old chauvinistic mindset, and where you don't express soft skills and you don't use soft skills. So for boys then to be encouraged away from that model, and yet they're dealing with that at home and growing up in the home with that opposite model, how is that for boys?
Yeah, I think it's tough for boys. I've even seen it for young girls, Shame, now, like, you know, because it's almost like, well, equality means, you know, got to be like a man and, you know, be more stoic and dominant and in control. And it's not serving anybody. And I've also sadly seen mums or, you know, female figures in boys' lives also resorting to some of those, you know, toughen up, don't cry kind of approaches to young boys. I'm not casting blame on them. I think it's a cultural thing and something that, as you've rightly acknowledged, I think is something that men police in our socialization with other boys and young men. But I think it's still there broadly, you know, and we all have to play a role in actually disrupting that. And I guess getting people to help articulate what's going on. And they're the most profound moments I've ever got to witness in my work, is seeing young boys meeting other young boys in their distress, in their tears, in their heartaches, and putting a hand on their shoulder, reaching in. And I can think of a couple of instances where I got to see that in just such profound ways. A state school in regional New South Wales where, yeah, a young boy was being taunted and bullied and you know, told awful things.
Dreadful.
And he started to cry. He was 11 years old, and two boys got up in that space and gone and sat on either side and just comforted and consoled him and put a hand on his back. And I just thought, that's amazing. I just scrapped the rest of my presentation because that is far more important and the ultimate teachable moment, where I got to say, boys, how does this make us feel? And they said, sad. You know, what this boy had expressed.
Yep.
And, you know, getting them to articulate, and they used more words than sad. And I wanted them to, hear that from each other, that it's normal that we all felt sad. And I said, I felt sad. And I pointed to the fact that I had tears in my eyes witnessing this moment. And then I also asked them, and boys, how did you feel when you saw those other boys go in and you know, comfort this friend? And they were like, yeah, that was good. That was kind. That was nice. Like, and I was like, what did that show? And, you know, they obviously articulated that that was caring, you know, that
it's also masculine. It's also really responsible adulting. You know,
I said it was courageous.
Yeah.
I said it was courageous to get up and do that. And that's something that I say in my upstander workshops, that like, it's courage doesn't materialize. It's because we first care. Yeah. Like, if you don't care about someone, I don't care how tough you think you are, but if you don't care about the human in front of you, whoever they are, you're not going to show courage. You're not going to want what's good for them and do something, anything, to bring that about. And so I love when those moments happen, because you can do so much more than a presentation to kind of tease out, what are we all feeling? Let's sit with that. Let's reflect on it.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the opportunities, I guess, I've had in life to give expression to my feelings and to have had opportunities to do that. And I just think we owe it to everyone, but boys especially, to champion that and to give them the tools, the language, and the spaces to give expression to what's going on for them.
And what do you say to boys and parents who might ask, well, that's fine, soft skills and being able to express emotions and be there for others, but when do you know whether to be stoic and to really push forward and to manage your emotions without expressing them and to sort of man up, if you like, versus to be more in the soft skill, emotional and even expressing that emotion in a softer way? How would boys know when to be in which mode?
I think they're both at the same time, in a sense, not necessarily living that out at the same time, but you can sit there and see an injustice, or actually feel an injustice or a hurt has been done to you, in which you can gather your thoughts and feelings and go, I feel really sad right now. I feel rejected by this. I feel hurt by this. And you should be able to communicate that to a friend, a loved one, a parent. and sit with that and have someone hold space for that.
Mm.
And still check in with you and say, is there anything you need right now? How can I best support you? And there is still a space. And again, depending whether we're talking about a disappointment because you didn't get the grades you got versus something, you know, altogether traumatic, to then say, you know, well, what can you then do? Because I love the idea of still wanting to say, well, how can we continue to contribute? Once we felt and thought and processed what's happened, you know, what is our response to it all? So whether it was a breakup, you know, and you could sit there and sit with someone, and you're not going to tell them the day of, oh, well, jog on, mate, that's fine. There's plenty of fish in the sea, you know. But at some point you're like, hey, you could have the conversation. What did you learn from this? And like, what would you love to bring into your next relationship? Like, what did you do well? And what would you look to show up as in your next one? Like, I think there's always a teachable moment that brings agency and a sense of learning, reflection, and then seeking to be constructive towards whether that's a next opportunity, a next relationship, a next endeavor in a sporting or musical attempt, you know, like that didn't go well, that we're looking to actually be constructive towards. So yeah, I think it's both and. Mm. I think unresolved dealing with things, and I'm certainly not the expert, you're the psych on this, is clearly not working out.
Yeah.
I'll speak to one thing in a moment if you'd love, is the whole breakup and seeing men not having the resources internal and around them to deal well with that.
Yeah, yeah. You're right, because it takes courage to get through a breakup too, and to those internal and, yes, networking resources, reaching out to even a psychologist is a hard thing for a lot of men to do, but such a courageous thing, as we know, to seek help and to find solutions and resolve breakup crisis is a big reason, I think, that we've got domestic violence happening so much in Australia.
And I'd love to speak from my own perspective, right? And, you know, because I think, yeah, I've been through some real heartaches. I was in a committed long-term relationship a few years ago. It went poorly in the end, and I was deeply hurt by something that my then fiance had done. And yeah, people sat with me in my pain and in my hurts, but I was also challenged on, well, how are you going to respond? Are you going to be vindictive? Are you going to be self-destructive or externally destructive? Now, my friends probably had less inclination that was going to be my way, but people offered me alcohol. They offered me other, and other healthier voices offered me, actually, what's like something that you are going to look back on and take heart in.
Yes.
And I remember I wrote this person like a letter 2 days after my heartache, and it was of, hey, I wish you well.
Yeah.
And I look back on that as such a pivotal moment.
Yes.
That I was still processing my pain, still grieving months afterwards, in therapy afterwards.
Yeah.
But I look back that I had people who cared for me, who could hold tension for me to express my pain and get gritty and very like, ugh, about it, but were also like wanting to champion me and help me to do things that were going to be healthy for Dan then and Dan in the future. And I can tell you now, like I look back on that as such a pivotal marker, because I did something that was healthy and right and beneficial, even though I was still dealing with all the feelings.
That is such a manly response. That's such a great masculine adult and yet empowered and yet soft skills, working through all of those emotions. You're right. It's all at once, soft
skills. It's all of the above. And I say that to the boys because sometimes, you know, they might think maybe I've just, you know, read a government report and thought, oh, this is what I'm just doing for a living because got nothing better to do. But I do sometimes bring these real stories and what people have gone through heartache, and I can only speak to my story.
Mm.
And I say to the boys, like, I wish I could bottle and give you the feeling of what it's like to have all these feelings, emotions, and still choose to act with integrity within your own frame of reference and your own sphere of influence. And that is such a satisfying feeling. And so, yeah, for me, it's like both and. It's like feel the feels and amidst that, do the right thing. And of course, within context, it's all dependent on, you know, how traumatic this is for this particular person. But I think, you know, you'd be able to speak to, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. Like, the sense of agency and healthy agency when we are grieving and still doing things. And people talk about it with like still doing things that are healthy and good for us, even when we don't feel like it. Yeah. And that for me is a healthy stoicism. You know, sometimes I don't feel like exercising and I may not go out and have a 10 out of 10 gym session, but I may go for a walk.
Yes.
And then I feel infinitely better afterwards. And I think for me, that probably touches on what we shared last time about, yeah, not being ruled by our emotions and where can we respond in healthy ways.
Definitely. Being able to regulate our own emotions. And if we really can't, to seek the help just as you did, because we all need help at times. We're not an island.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I would say. It wasn't just people telling me to act in a right way or toughen up and get through this who were then devoid from my well-being and me flourishing in the future. They were invested. And yeah, we know that boys and men especially are facing a loneliness epidemic.
Yes.
And so how much that they actually need other supports. And that's where I worry and I sit in these online groups observing adult men going through breakups, and because their whole social emotional support system for the guys who struggle the most was on their usually female partner.
Yes.
And now that that's gone, they have such feelings of despair, like very dark. And I think to myself, yeah, how can we actually help again for the connectedness, but then the interpersonal skills that men can check in with each other and have relationships with other people that's not their partner, that is emotional, that shares mental load that they give and receive in that. And not just at crisis points. So yeah, I think there is such a benefit to it. And I know we've harped on, or I have harped on anyways, on this particular issue, but that's where I'm seeing it the most when it turns so dark, so painful, so tragic, because I think we haven't cultivated this in our male socialization.
Certainly not in Australia. We see that with domestic violence playing out so terribly. And I guess to my earlier comment that how do boys cope with men going through that, maybe men can be benefiting from boys learning this emotional intelligence, that it's seeing their boys learning this. Those men,
absolutely,
yeah, going through breakups could take on board and learn something from their sons. And this new era that is a fortunate one, where we're talking about emotional intelligence, we're talking about helping boys. And yes, parents seem to be so time poor. It's on your shoulders. It's interesting that schools are really trying to do their bit as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a collective approach. Like, we all play our part. And I think so much of it, yes, we need to teach and there's an educational component, but gosh, we need to see it modeled. And I think for me, like, that's where it's caught, like seeing other people, men, women, respond well in life to really difficult circumstances or challenges is something where you go, wow, I want to become more like that. Like, we, you know, you'd hope so anyways, where you see people handle things well. It's like, this sucks. This is painful. I'm hurting. But I want to handle this as well as I possibly can. And I feel like that part of the human spirit is a thing I admire most, whether it's, you know, health challenges, relational challenges, disappointments, grief, loss, like watching people handle that well, I think is, yeah, so important. And so schools are seeing the need for this. And we've seen other great initiatives like, you know, Alain de Botton's work and the School of Life, and wanting to give language and, you know, tools for people to be able to just have healthy conversations. Even those prompt cards where you get to know your partner or good friends. I love that. You know, like, I don't want to preference any one organization. I've already kind of done that. But like, I love that there has become a more normalization of like, actually, we can go out for a meal or, you know, hang out with friends and have a drink or have a dessert and bring out some prompt cards to actually get to know one another on a deeper level. So I love that stuff like that has crept into mainstream culture. And I think that's a far more easier way to start to access these things, because not everyone's going to just like sit down, lean in front of someone eyeball to eyeball and share their hopes, dreams, fears, you know.
That's right. And particularly I've seen the research where it's actually better if you don't eyeball them. And these prompt cards are helping men in particular, I think, because they're visual, they're objective, and they're tools, as you say. They're not then putting all the onus onto the any person to actually have the emotional resources. And I think families, you know, anyone listening to this podcast, it's an opportunity for families to do this work together, and everyone can benefit from the emotional intelligence that can be gained from talking through hard emotions, negative emotions, having cards or lists of emotions that you can then point to and express, you know, this is how, as you said earlier, this is sad, you know, other things make us feel mad or bad. And it can be a win-win for adults and children.
Yeah, I love that emotions color wheel to help give expression to things. And I love that. And, you know, and I've said this to boys, and I just speak quite frankly to them. Like when I talk about different characteristics or ways that we can show up as healthy men and a more generative and expansive vision of masculinity. And one of the things I'm like, guys, I feel like we're so limited, like that men are just either angry or horny, you know, like there's kind of like, but there's so much more to us than that. And wanting to champion that, that we have a full spectrum of things that we experience, and yeah, to kind of give language to that. But I think that's hard. And I think for me in my work, I've definitely seen, you know, things that are associated with vulnerability hard to embody or articulate. And something that I do also get, and I just actually said this to someone on LinkedIn today, that like, I love the idea of championing vulnerability. That big V word is not always something that's accessible to a 14, 15-year-old boy who's in a world of toughness and competing and who's the top dog and all that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of try and go with the whole idea of being authentic, being honest, like being there for your mates, like, you know, are you real? That kind of language to try and at least start those sowing some seeds to say, yeah, like, and again, not with everybody, don't go to publish all your feelings online, but do you have one mate, one friend and one trusted adult that you can really be honest with, that if you were having a tough time, do you know that you could speak with them? That's how I kind of broach that topic with them, you know, and then I say, and are you that friend?
Yes, exactly.
Are you that guy that your mates, and I'll use the language like, are you that guy who's loyal, who your mate can trust on or rely on, that he could call you at 3 a.m., you know, if he's having a tough time? Don't you want to be that kind of friend for someone, for your best friend, you know, and like appealing to that kind of frame, which is like, yeah, which again is like a big thing that I just want to champion. It's like, yeah, men being able to give and receive help, ask for it, but offer it. So, hey, mate, I'm here for you.
And you find often that when boys are offering help and support for their peers, then they're more likely to then ask for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes hand in hand. Although some people I think tend to sometimes be that more supportive, helpful friend who, you know, wants to carry the world and be that way inclined. I know sometimes I've fallen into that box and learned to have to ask for help at times. But I think it just does start to shift the culture and signal to others that, hey, we're here for you. Because the biggest thing that boys worry about, and I think men, frankly, is that they'll disclose what's really going on for them. And then they'll get thrown under the bus, that someone will use that to ridicule, undermine them, one-up them, you know, like share that around. And that is a pretty hostile cultural context to push back against and to be brave, to be courageous, to share.
Absolutely. And then if that does happen, well, that's bullying. And we know that you need to stand up to bullies and find adult help to do that if needed.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there is that kind of cultural context. And that's why I think we've got to have empathy for boys. And that's why for me, my language, like we've got to create the spaces for that first. Mm. You know, you can't just kind of push someone in the center of the room and be like, be vulnerable, share your feelings. And it's like, for all of us, like I'm trying to be like, are you safe? Like I'm navigating that as I share with you, who I'm starting to know more about since we've been interacting over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months. But like, am I safe?
Yeah.
Should I share this? Will I be met with, you know, care, or will I be met with ridicule? You know, like we're all quickly making these little calculations in our mind. And I'm just fortunate that for me, like I'm finally found a group of male colleagues and friends who you can be real with. And I don't ever have to doubt that for those people, but not everybody's had that experience.
That's right. And as you say, finding our group where we're safe to express all our feelings and be purely vulnerable, and the rest of the world may criticize or ridicule us, or parts of the world, and we can't control that. But if we're safe and we've got our group, we're safe enough.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Daniel, how can people find you and all your wonderful resources and book you for speaking events and media interviews?
Oh, thank you, Amanda. That's so kind. They can head to danielprincipe.com.au and also just search for my name on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram.
And Daniel, I ask all my guests, and this is maybe the same answer as last time, but what makes you psyched for life?
Right now, the potential of championing boys and seeing that resonate with so many others. Yes, there's things we've got to challenge, but the possibility of championing boys to be their best and to become good young men, yeah, that's energizing me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Daniel Principe. It's been a wonderful discussion yet again.
Thank you so much. Loved it.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Plus, don't forget you can access all of the resources mentioned in today's podcast via the show notes. Is there a pressing issue or topic you'd like me to discuss? Head to my Instagram at @dramandaferguson and send me a DM. I love hearing from my listeners. If anything discussed in this podcast has caused you concern or distress, contact your general practitioner or health provider. To locate a psychologist in your area, call the Australian Psychological Society and locate Find a Psychologist service on 1800 333 497 or visit www.findapsychologist.org.au. If you or someone you know is in crisis, Lifeline is available 24/7 on 13 11 14 and Kids Helpline, again 24/7 on 1800 55 1800, and both are free of charge. To find out more about me, please visit my website, dramandaferguson.com.au. You can find the link in my show notes. The opinions expressed by guests in these podcasts aren't necessarily shared by me.